Okay, Cosmos. And now we have the Puranic Cosmology YouTube channel, and our previous presentation there, which I made last week, requires further clarification. Therefore, this is now the first of a series of episodes attempted at giving such clarification. Spoken by this guy on a walk over the hills, puffing and panting. So forgive me. Yeah, so dream, a cosmic dream. Is this world really a dream? And where do you get that from? The Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, this is what we showed in the previous presentation. The Purushas appearing in three forms, Mahavishnu and so on, sleeping and then dreaming. And then entering into that dream. And so do we. So, and I heard from those attended my presentation there, the Vedic Planetarium journey to through the three worlds, saying, well, you kind of lost me there on the dream. And that, well, it's here somewhere, I guess, which I anticipated, expected. And that's what I wanted to now start with, describing more in detail with enough time to get into it. Now the picture there with the chunk and Vishnu and Lakshmi. So I say that this shows the cosmic dream, and this, the next one, my drawing, of course, when you make statements like that, someone can state back that, well, that's your interpretation. And I said then in that presentation that I have a chunk of evidence and I can prove it. And you know, I'm a kind of scientific person, so before you say such things, you better be able to prove it. Cough up the evidence here. And well, on the short time I had there, I just showed what this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I gave you the link to that lecture by Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada which I think is a good starting point. I know some, they who listen to this and see this are, you know, faithful followers of Srila Prabhupada and accept what he says as authoritative, and some don't. So then don't take his words for it if you don't want. And yes, I have noted, at least it seems so to me, that there seems to be a tradition there in India, an intellectual tradition, even in certain branches of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Gaudiya mission. But no. There's something else here. Now, I'm not going to attempt at diving into Vedantic and advanced philosophical discussions here, throwing verses from Shastra around, but I will anyway throw some verses around here. But what I will mainly do is, and this is how I mainly write my book, is to paint the cosmos, so to speak, to take these pieces of the puzzle and see if I can fit them together and a big picture emerges. A picture of the cosmos that you can then enter into and live in, and then that is proof enough for me that this is the real cosmos. And the way I say truth stands on its own once it is there. It shines in its own glory and makes us convinced both that, oh yeah, this makes sense. But also, as I said, this is something we can live. It works. I can see it around me. Yes, when I look at the world in this perspective, yeah. Things start falling into place. So there are these... Well, let's look at the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that verse... It's much there in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. 291 is that verse, that lecture is that... Again, put a QR code here and a link down there. I really recommend you to read carefully if you are a follower of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Which I am, and therefore I guess I talk mainly to those, but then also to everyone who might be interested in this field. And it is just like seeing one's body in a dream. This is how this world is. It's just the same as saying that, yes, this world is like a dream. And yet, here we have a body. And yet, in a dream, at night, we also have a body. That body is not real. It's an illusory false identity, a ahankara. And so is this self that we think we are, this body and mind and intellect that is conditioned by these modes of nature that are the qualities. But you could say overshadow the original, our original consciousness and mind and senses. And then well, manifesting as that dream. So that's the dream example, as I show in the macrocosmic and microcosmic. Simultaneous levels. And that's also the beauty of this cosmology, this micro and macrocosmic feature here that also you find all over the world. So we dream at night, and by that dream, and when we wake up, by looking at that as a comparison, microcosmic comparison, we can understand also the macrocosmic correspondence there, which is what we're talking about here in the dream of God scenario. That it's not invented by me, it's there in the Bhagavatam. And then, you know, a dream a Divina Commedia, a theater play, a fantasy, a story, a game. All these are quite similar, same thing. Like we have some idea, some desire to create something and experience something, act out a certain role. And that's why we hook ourselves up to our online multiplayer games and whatever. So my conclusion there in my previous presentation was that, yes, dream well, in dreams we often find ourselves, at least that's what it seems, alone. Maybe some characters you meet in a dream or other people dreaming, what do I know, but to me it seems they're just dream characters created by my mind, I don't know. But in a multiplayer VR game, and if you've ever played one, you know exactly what I'm talking about, you can relate to it. The ones you meet in there are other gamers, players, who have then entered there to act out a certain character, a certain avatar they have. And that's why we do that, isn't it? That's why we put all this effort into making that game world, these game engines. Because we like that, right? Relax, living a little fantasy. And then you can watch a movie or you can play a game, you know, something like that. So I expanded that dream, because it's a metaphor after all, that metaphor, into a more modern one, which I even think is, it tells it better. So and what I then tried to show, and that's why I started talking about, again, very condensed form, quantum theory, and trying there to show that what I found, especially when studying David Bohm and Carl Pribram, this holonomic and holographic cosmologic theory, then I found that it basically, that the worldview that then came, you know, irrevocably with quantum, with the discoveries behind quantum theory, really started to perceive the world as a kind of virtual reality. Even that, what they said, the classic Copenhagen interpretation of Bohr, that all we can say about the world is how we, is our understanding of it, is our, you know, our mental image of it, and then our intellectual interpretation of that. Because that's all we see. And which Bohm then took further, saying that, well, we need to also understand the objective reality, the actual what's out there. There's some energy here. So, continue next time.